So y'all saying if I start struggling with my sermon, I should do the same thing? We're done. That's it. Y'all go home. Yeah. All right. Well, brothers and sisters, Jesus called the woman a dog. This ordinary woman who had great problems. Her daughter was ill. She was demon-possessed. She had a difficulty in her life, probably not too unlike any other woman who was facing a problem. Somehow in the back of her mind, she heard through the rumor mill that there was a miracle worker coming to her backyard, a man named Jesus from Nazareth. And maybe, just maybe, this Jesus could help her out. Did I mention one thing? Did I mention she was a Gentile, a Canaanite, a foreigner? What that means is that she was not a God-fearing Jew like Jesus' disciples or like Jesus himself. She didn't sacrifice at the temple. She didn't observe the Sabbath. She didn't keep the feast days. She was about as different ethnically and religiously as Jesus. And Jesus, for that reason, called her a dog. I don't want to sugarcoat this, brothers and sisters. This is a difficult dialogue for us to hear this morning about a woman in pain and a Jesus who seemingly has nothing to say to her. Do you remember the woman's words? She came to Jesus and said, "Have mercy on me, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." And what do you think Jesus said? Jesus said something worse than something bad. Jesus said nothing. Jesus responded with silence, the scripture says. And how often have people's cries of anguish been received with absolute silence by people who could help? Jesus said absolutely nothing to this woman. And as if to fill in that silence, the disciples piped in with a response of their own. The disciples started talking from their own biases and prejudices. As if Jesus' silence wasn't enough, the woman started to hear from the disciples the words of humiliation and degradation from the disciples, who said to Jesus, "Just send her away. All she's doing is calling out to us. She's just an annoyance. She's just a Canaanite, a foreigner, someone who isn't worthy of our attention, Jesus. Just send her away." And what do you think Jesus said next? Jesus said, "I agree with the disciples. I'm not here for you, woman. I'm only here to be with the Jews. I've only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And then he called her a dog. "It's not right for me to give the food that's meant for the children to the dogs." What do you think of that? It's right there in the scriptures. There's no avoiding it. There's no way to take Jesus' words and maybe say, well, that's not what he said. It's a difficult thing for us to hear this morning because this is not the Jesus that we're used to worshiping and hearing about. I don't know about you, but I don't really like these words of Jesus. They seem biased. They seem prejudiced. They seem hateful. They don't seem like the compassionate Jesus I know about. They seem like a derogatory Jesus. We like to think of Jesus as the one who is the Good Samaritan, who helps people no matter what their ethnic background or no matter what they faced in their life. Helping those who are different from him in any way. That's the Jesus we like to think of. So what's the deal here? What do you think is going on in this passage? Well, if we want to find that answer, I want to invite us to do one thing, and that's to make an assumption and see where it goes. Let's assume that Jesus was saying these words simply to put people to a test. Maybe Jesus was putting the disciples to the test. That Jesus was only saying these words to reflect the bias and prejudice that the disciples had in their hearts. What if all he was doing was putting the disciples into a trap, just giving them what they want to hear so that they can hear the ignorance from their mouths themselves. A lot of people have ignorance in their hearts, but they have never heard it on another person's lips. Maybe Jesus was just letting the disciples hear for themselves what was inside them. You could almost see on the disciples' faces in this passage the disdain that they had for this person who was first a woman and then a Gentile. And as Jesus said those words, "I have only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," you can hear the quiet celebrating by the disciples as they say, "Yeah, Jesus, tell him, tell her how bad she is. Give her what she deserves. Tell her to get away. Tell her she's not worthy of our time." That's right, Jesus. Give her the what for. You can hear that quiet celebrating by the disciples. I think what Jesus was doing was setting a trap for the disciples to teach them a lesson. He knew of their sinful bias. He knew of their prejudice, their hateful rhetoric. Jesus told the woman what the disciples wanted him to tell her, so that he could show the disciples just how wrong they were. Because I'm sure all that celebrating stopped when in the end, Jesus decided to heal that woman, despite her different background. Today there are many people who would look at this story and side with the disciples. They are exclusive of others to the point of promoting their own false superiority. They exhibit a rash arrogance, a type of elitism that looks down on other people just because they are different. Different because of their gender, or their race, or their age, or their occupation, or their education, or their disability, or any of a number of different reasons. Let's take a look at the newspapers in recent months, even, as we have seen a brutal hate crime of a gay man in Wyoming, of a dragging death in Jasper, Texas, of church burnings and abortion clinic bombings, a killing in Illinois that is linked to the World Church of the Creator, and even this past Tuesday, of a man who went on a shooting rampage in a Jewish community center. There are hate crimes based on sexual orientation and race and social status and gender and age, and those are just a drop in the bucket of all of the examples of hate crimes in this country today. There are too many people who are seen as dogs in this country. And there are too many people who look at other people as dogs, as subhuman, as less than them. Those are the people that, if they were in this story, would be quietly celebrating right there with the disciples as Jesus talks to this woman in such a derogatory way. But it is Jesus who has the last word. It is Jesus who decides that enough is enough. You disciples are wrong. She may be different, but she is not outside of grace. You may look at her as a dog, but I see her as a child of God. And so, woman, your daughter will be healed of this demon possessed. That's the last word. That nobody is outside the inclusive love of God because of the way they were born. Last Tuesday, a man named Buford O. Furrow, Jr., an anti-Semitic white supremacist, opened fire in a Jewish community center. He wounded 5, including 3 children. He then held a woman at gunpoint and took her car, and later shot and killed a postal worker, a Filipino, cold dead in a driveway on his way of making a simple delivery of the mail. He rode for 275 miles from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, where he later turned himself in just 24 hours after doing these things. And the cold, chilling words that he told to the police were simply, "You're looking for me. I shot the kids in Los Angeles." You've read the accounts. You've seen the TV news coverage of this. Why do I share with you all of the gruesome facts right now? To say to you that it's easy when we have crazy extremists and murderers like this to say that they are the ones who have the racial and prejudicial problem. To objectify the problem as if to say that as long as there are people like Buford Furrow around, it's the extremists who have the prejudice problem. But the problem is out there, somewhere else, in someone else. But the passage in Matthew points the finger not at people like them alone, but to people like all of us. For we too want to be Jesus' disciples. And how often do we, ourselves, fail to recognize the own prejudices in our lives? Maybe this morning you find yourself siding with the disciples, that you have labeled within your own hearts those who are in and those who are out, those who are children and those who are dogs for no fault of their own. You need to know that it's not just the crazy murderers who have a problem with prejudices. People like you and pastors like me who need to be reminded that Jesus' love is inclusive. And you need to remember the story of the Frog Prince. That in a world of seeming frogs on the outside, there are princes and princesses in every one. And you need to see them as God sees them, worthy of love and compassion. So maybe Jesus was putting the disciples to the test. But here's one other thing. What if Jesus was putting the woman to the test? What if Jesus' words were simply putting the woman into a test as well? You can imagine being in this woman's position, facing all that she was facing, knowing that the chips were stacked against her, that there was, in all reality, the possibility that Jesus would not help her. Maybe when Jesus was silent, she wasn't surprised. Maybe when the disciples started shouting at her, she wasn't surprised as well. Maybe the words of Jesus didn't catch her off guard. Maybe that's something she was expecting, because she knew she was a foreigner, an outsider. She knew her problems were too great, and that there was nothing about her that deserved compassion and forgiveness. Maybe some of you this morning are a lot like this woman. Maybe you are facing a struggle in your life against all odds. Maybe you have been told by family and friends, oh, there is nothing you can really do. Just give up. Or just take the shortcut. Just take the easy way out of your problems. Don't fight anymore. Maybe some of you have been struggling with the fights of your past, trying to forgive yourselves for past mistakes. Maybe you are completely overwhelmed by the problems you are facing today, or the way that others have mistreated you. This woman's daughter was demon-possessed, and I wonder, what are the demons that we are fighting right now? What Jesus told her, when Jesus told her that he couldn't help her because of her limitations, Jesus was testing her. What Jesus was really asking this woman was, are you really going to believe all of those lies that people have told you? All of those lies about how you're not good enough, about how your past is too dark, about how you are too sinful, about how you're not worthy to come to me, or are you going to take a step of faith and come to me? And the woman said an incredible thing. She said to Jesus, I believe that even your crumbs are good enough to feed me. I believe that the crumbs of your power, just the smallest bit of opportunity, is enough to satisfy me. What a wise woman. For this is a man who took a paltry sum of loaves and fish and transformed it into a catered meal for 5,000 people. This is a man who took some ordinary water and transformed it into the best tasting wine at a wedding in Cana. This is a man who could help this woman. And she believed it. She believed that Jesus was opening just the slightest door of opportunity, and there was no way that she was going to let this tiny bit, this little scrap, this little morsel of grace get away, because she believed that even just that little bit was enough to help her fully. Matthew defined last week faith for us. You remember what faith was last week for Matthew? It is not losing your focus when the storms of life are around you, of keeping your focus on God instead of on the waves. Matthew gives us another definition of faith this morning. It is a faith that reaches out to Jesus and believes that Jesus has enough to help you, just enough to help you, when everyone else says that you can't. Sometimes in our lives we look for overnight miracles. We look for overnight miracles, thunder and lightning, or a magic wand to come and take away our problems. We know that's not the way it goes, and we know that's not the way that God often works. The woman came to Jesus wanting help, and she was faithful enough to see that even just a little bit of Jesus' power could help her completely. Maybe this morning God is offering you crumbs of grace. Little tidbits of grace, small morsels of forgiveness, enough for you to know that you are forgiven, and enough for you to share with others. Tiny scraps of love, little bits of reconciliation available for you this morning. Largely unnoticed because you're looking for a feast, but truly enough for you to make it through when you exhibit faith. One final story. It's a story of a woman who faced tragedy in her life because her husband had died. And she was left with this empty house and her son. All that she had in her possession was her little boy and a tiny flask of oil. That's all. Oh, and she also had mounting debt, because after her husband's death, she was left with great debts to pay. And the creditors had been knocking on her door incessantly, to the point where she didn't know what she was going to do. A man of faith came to stop by her house one day and said, "You know what? You may be looking for a whirlwind miracle, but God has given you everything that you need right now in your house. Take that little tiny flask of oil," he said, "and gather together every single container, every single jar, cup, vase, Tupperware, bathtub, basin, everything that you can find that could hold any amount of liquid, and bring them together." And then you know what this man did? Told the woman to take that little jar of oil, that tiny little jar of oil that had been unnoticed, and start pouring. And she took that little jar of oil, and it was enough to fill the first jar. And there was still some oil left over in the jar, so she poured again. And pot after pot, and vase after vase, and basin after basin was filled to the brim by this tiny flask of oil. Back then when she lived, oil was like liquid gold. So she was able to take all of that oil that had come miraculously and sell it and use the money to pay off all her debts. That little insignificant bit of oil that had been unnoticed in her life was the way that God had chosen to save her. And all she needed was a little bit of faith that little bit of oil, like the little bit of crumbs on the table, was enough to satisfy her against all odds. Maybe this morning God is asking you to take a little bit of step of faith and reach out and take even the tiniest morsel of God's grace and watch what God does with your past, with your relationships, with your problems, with your anxieties about the future. So when Jesus calls the woman a dog, Jesus reminds us to look deep inside ourselves and see what prejudices and biases we might find for others and ask for healing from them. And when Jesus calls the woman a dog, he invites us to take a bit of faith, take a step of faith, and take that little bit of God's power and grace, for that will be enough to satisfy your hungry hearts. May you find those opportunities that God has for you and cling to them, and find them, and then be filled. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.